This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So, Sean Correa, my question here, you're assuming here that there's no possibility that any of the stuff you've seen, this miraculous technology, could have emerged from our own engineers and scientists without help?
Here's what I can say. I can't say with absolute certainty because there's always the possibility that's not the case. However, I don't see none of my practitioners that were working on this could identify any tooling or machining that would have, or any fabrication techniques or technology available that could have manufactured these components and assembled them the way that we received them. Number one, it was the only sample that we received that didn't have any source data or schematics that accompanied it, because everything else we worked on had schematics, had detailed information, had source information. We even have contacts that we could talk to as a reference point to get more information about what we were working on from a technical perspective. And this had none of that. And you kind of put all those pieces together. None of that is a written, certified confirmation of sorts per se, but as a betting man, I feel that what we've concluded was on the probable side, highly probable side.
Where do you think it came from? Roswell crash? Where?
I don't know. I have no idea. Because Roswell may have been the first of hundreds of craft we've retrieved. It's hard to say. I doubt it. I probably would say that it was within the last 15 years. The only reason I say that is because it just, knowing the life cycle of, you know, when material is recovered and is given to a team to catalog and then given to another team to try to get it to work, to better understand it, and then given to a team to reverse engineer it, that life cycle at best is, you know, 5 years. So I doubt they would be giving us material that was that old. And I'm certain that we don't know for sure. I don't think any of us know when the first time our government officially got involved in studying this phenomena. But I would imagine that once they started, they didn't stop or reduce their efforts. So they probably wanted to and tried to seek out ways to continue to retrieve technology and better understand and get closer to this. I mean, so my best guess, I think, just, you know, based on logic, based on my own experience on how this stuff works and how this stuff gets disseminated through the various departments to analyze and to repurpose, I doubt that we were given something from the 40s.
Yeah, but look at it this way, too. Say in the 1940s, someone brought to them an iPhone. It's 1940. Someone brings an iPhone to them. Could they reverse engineer that? Could they even figure out what it is? I mean, there's certain basics they might understand, like it has a battery, and maybe if they could still turn it on, they could see that this is some kind of monitor or display, because we were in the earlier stages of inventing TV. That might make sense. But now take an invention that's 1,000 years ahead of us, that powers a spacecraft from one star system to another, whatever it is. Do you really think we could reverse engineer any of it?
Oh, yes. I do. Maybe not all of it, but God, there's some really smart people that do this stuff. And I'm absolutely certain that they can put unlimited resources to trying to figure out what it is, how it works, where it came from. And I mean, you can put that kind of brain power and those kinds of resources behind something like this. You know, you're going to get some answers to those questions. You're going to be able to come up with some conclusions. You may not be able to figure it all out, but I'm certain they're very, very good at doing this stuff. When we when we recover, you know, prototype systems, weapon systems, weapons, aircraft, surveillance equipment, new, you know, cyber, technology for, you know, listening and intrusion. The process by which that's collected, cataloged, you know, reverse engineered, replicated, and put back in the, I mean, it's pretty quick. I mean, I would say the timeline that I've observed in those instances, and I recognize that we're not talking about technology that's 1,000 years ahead of us. However, they're pretty good at and very efficient at moving that stuff through the system and making some use out of it. And they've got, you know, access to, I mean, the brightest minds in the world. I mean, it's just a matter of a phone call, and they've got massive budgets. I mean, you'd be surprised what they are capable of doing. And generally speaking, you got to remember that whatever the military, our military space command, the technology that they have is 30, 40 years ahead of, you know, what's available in the commercial and private sector. So, you got to try to imagine it from that perspective to get even to begin to understand their capabilities and what they can do. But they're very good, and they learn. And I'm sure that every craft, piece of technology, every recovery made, they've learned something that they've been able to then take and implement the next go around. You know, like I mentioned to you, one of their objectives was to try to collect this stuff without causing any damage. And that was one of the things they're trying to do. I just have no doubt that they had the resources to do this work and do a good job at it.
Well, you're very confident that we could take apart alien technology. All right, so let me ask you a question here. If we already know all this, we've disassembled some level of alien technology. The government clearly knows so many things. Why bother with first contact? Why not try to find a way to get them to disclose what they know?
Because I think it's not that it's a dangerous game. It's just it would be really challenging. You don't have the leverage. No one who controls the strategy is going to come forward and blow the whistle. Most of your whistleblowers or defectors, as I like to call them, they were, you know, compartmentalized. They can only give you one, you know, sliver of what is true. They can't give you the whole piece. So it was just too challenging. And the other thing is I to be honest with you, I'm very curious myself. I don't want to wait for someone else to interpret what this is. If we evolve to the point where there's some kind of coexistence, or the reality of this changes everything, changes our perspective, our worldview, our way of life going forward, I'd like to have some say in my future, for my family, for people I know. I think that, you know, I don't see, you know, anything the government has done on its own without the consent or without the collaboration with its citizens is a, you know, doomed for failure in my view. And I just think that we need someone outside of the government to take the first steps and to develop the framework for diplomacy. You know, at least that's how I feel about it personally.
Well, you know, there's an obvious question that I'd like to ask, and we could have your response in our next segment, which is, okay, if the government knows all this stuff, what makes you think they won't find ways to stop you from trying to mount an independent effort at first contact? We'll have more from Sean Correa of Anonymous Uprising. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, I want to tell you about my favorite graphics app. It's the award-winning Graphic Converter. You know, Graphic Converter is the universal genius for photo editing on your Mac. Join over 1.5 million loyal users for this Swiss Army knife photo editing app. It gives you all you expect from a top-flight image editing app with tons of features, and most important, it's easy to use. It's also far less expensive than that other app that you can only get by subscription. You know the one I'm talking about. What's more, you can get 20% off with your order right now. So write this down to learn about Graphic Converter. Go to www.lemkesoft.de/gene. Let me spell that. www.lemkesoft.de/gene.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at goberkey.com. That's goberkey.com today.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Back with Sean Correa of Anonymous Uprising. So the question I asked you, and we're going to get more into how people can get involved in this if they really wanted to contribute their funds, and that is, what makes you think the government won't stop you if you're trying to do this, if there's any chance for success?
Well, as long, I believe, if we're if we conduct ourselves professionally and we're responsible, I don't think we're a threat to national security, number one. A lot of the and the government intervention in this realm is another thing that's been grossly exaggerated. And I think Hollywood has contributed a lot there. And to be more pragmatic, to give you the more practical answer, I own a private military contractor with about 300 of the best trained special operators. So when it comes to security, to discretion, to preventing external intervention, and I mean, we pretty much have the playbook. So we feel pretty confident from a security perspective, but we're not going to try to do anything to provoke a response that would be dangerous or could potentially shut us down. We're going to try to operate in a professional way, in a way that doesn't present a threat to national security and is as inclusive as you could possibly be. And that's the idea. We're not trying to shut out willing contributors from the government, what we call our white hat partners. You know, this is an inclusive process. If we're successful, and we've maybe achieved a milestone that the government hasn't been able to do for whatever reason, there might be an opportunity for some collaboration. I don't know. But it's not something that, to be honest with you, I worry about. People don't just make contact and, you know, there's a wet team on standby ready to neutralize you because, you know, you've started to work on this. That's just not true. I mean, it takes a lot of paperwork to kill somebody. You have to be an imminent threat, not a possible threat, but an imminent threat to national security for something like that to be green-lighted. It's just not as easy or as fantastic as Hollywood and the internet would have you believe, in my view.
But I'm not assuming it's going to be someone trying to off you, to disappear you. Don't you think interference can be done in more subtle ways to disrupt your financial flow?
Well, that's possible. If that's a possibility, like I said, I'm not going to spread anti-government sentiment. That's not what we're trying to do. Typically, the government would try, you know, like anything else, the path of least resistance. If you're doing something that bears fruit and that is useful, the first thing they'll try to do is work with you, is to try to fund you, to, you know, bring you into the fold and make you a contributor to a larger body of research, which I think would be fantastic. The conditions of that collaboration might be problematic to an extent. For instance, if it, you know, if we can't tell anybody, if the intention of what we're doing is nefarious in any way, that's something I would opt out of. I'll give you a perfect example. So my company provides security, as a lot of the contractors do that you've seen on TV, but we choose the clients and the situations that we're willing to get involved in. And for example, you may or may not have been following the protests in North Dakota with the pipeline.
Yes, definitely.
Those are the types of security contracts we don't do. We don't do stuff like that. That's just not, kind of crosses the line that we're not willing to, you know, cross morally. So the same thing would apply here. The next thing is, if you're a threat to national security, or the work you're doing poses a risk to the health and well-being and safety of the public, they will, you know, that's when they get the EPA involved to get you locked up in court, or they get, you know, looks like the IRS. I mean, there's a number of ways they can try to be disruptive, to try to either interrupt or drain your resources, your ability to do that. Another good reason to make sure that your sources of revenue are not directly affiliated with the work you're doing, you know, because that makes it easy for them to disrupt revenue. So that's another thing they can do, and then get, or they can just slap a national security award. I mean, there's a lot of ways they can do to disrupt you, but if you're doing something good, and when I mean good, I don't mean morally. I mean, if you're doing good work, it's bearing fruit and you're, you know, making progress, they want to participate before they, you know, want to shut you down. At least that's been my experience, because you know, when it comes to weapon systems and a number of different technologies, I've been part of that. I mean, the process isn't different just because it's, we're talking about extraterrestrial technology. If you're developing a weapon system or some kind of a cyber technology, you know, they want to partner with you. That's what they try to do. Hopefully that answers that question.
Just a background question here. You're head of a group called Phalanx Security Group. Now, is this
exactly?
Is this something that you can find online, get more information about?
We're actually in the process of building a website now. We've never had one, never really needed one because, for the most part, we had a very select client list, the U.S. government and some corporations and, you know, a couple of private individuals. So we haven't really needed to market ourselves in the traditional way, but we are going to build a website more to, you know, be more informative than anything for people that are curious about what we do.
Okay, so right now we really can't look online and see what you do.
No. Basically what we do, we provide executive protection. You know, we protect, we're hired for, to protect installations abroad. We do some domestic, you know, patrol security services here that involves sophisticated CCTV and facial recognition technology. So, you know, we provide and we also provide cyber security services. So we're just a security shop.
Just checking.
Some intelligence.
Let's go more in our final segments here into your plans here. You're raising $1 million. And I guess people want to know roughly how that's going to be spent. But the first part of the question is, are you going to attempt to establish a system to detect UFO activity? And the reason I raise that is because on the PowerCast over the past year or so, we have talked to a couple of people who want to set up a network of UFO detection systems. One of them is going to put a satellite into low Earth orbit, which is going to be, I think, less possible than finding the needle in the haystack. But I'd like to find out what you plan to do with regard to finding the activity so you can try to communicate with whoever or whatever these things are. We have Sean Correa with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attention citizens, this man has received national attention for accurately predicting every major financial trend, including the market crash of 2008. His name is Harry Dent, and in his newly released book, he is making even bigger and bolder predictions that have the potential to devastate the world economy and your personal wealth. You can get a free copy of Harry Dent's bestseller, The Sale of a Lifetime, containing never-before-published information by simply visiting www.saleofalifetime.com/free book. Again, that's saleofalifetime.com/free book.
This is Ben Gordon, and if your teeth are stained from coffee, tea, or smoking, Power Swabs is the answer. In 5 minutes, you'll see 2 shades whiter teeth, and in 7 days, 6 shades. There's no messy strips or trays that you have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and you're done. To try Power Swabs, call 1-800-290-8480. Your bright white smile will have your friends talking about how great you look. Try it risk-free. 1-800-290-8480. That's 1-800-290-8480.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, but I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule, creating an extra income for you and your family by joining his crusade, spreading his message of better health. To learn more, visit radio.recordedvideo.com, radio.recordedvideo.com. That's radio.recordedvideo.com.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. See website for details.
Need some extra cash today? Do you have bad credit or maxed out credit cards? If so, turn your radio up. 45cash.com is one of the nation's largest personal loan networks with over 50 different lenders. Now you can get a personal loan for up to $5,000 with any type of credit discreetly from your computer or smartphone and with no paperwork to send in. That's right, no paperwork whatsoever. Your cash will hit your bank account as soon as tomorrow, as our lenders have millions of dollars to lend regardless of your credit history. Visit 45cash.com and you can have up to $5,000 in no time. Just have a checking account and a regular source of income, and you can get the loan you need now, regardless of your credit. Go to 45cash.com from your smartphone or computer to get the cash you need. Visit 45cash.com. Type www.45cash.com directly into the address bar. That's 45cash.com. 45cash.com.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The question on the table here, where do the $1 million, what's it earmarked for? This $1 million you want to raise with GoFundMe. Are you going to try to set up a network of UFO detection systems to know where to go?
No, a large portion of the money is going to be spent to build that data aggregation and analysis platform that we're going to put online. So all of our numbers when we develop our protocols, we'll be able to, and if we're successful, at least with what our initial attempt is, we're going to make that available to the public. We want to try to get as many people in as many different locations, and we'll show them how to pick a site, you know, what kind of equipment and tools we'll need and how to go about doing this themselves. But we want to try to get as much data, raw data, fed into this system for analysis and for modeling, which will give us information on the sites, what are the best results and what kind of sites, what were the characteristics of that site. For example, you know, there's certain energy deposits in certain parts of the earth. There's, you know, electromagnetism. There's all kinds of different naturally occurring anomalies that seem to be hotbeds. And we want to try to figure out where those are, which ones are the hottest and why. So we're obviously, in order to figure that out, we need to try a number of different things. The best and most practical way to do that is to get people who are interested and have the aptitude as well as the desire to go out and be an extension and do this work in remote areas.
Well, a lot of this work's already been done. You know, you're talking to somebody who's been working on this particular aspect of your project for years, and I'm in the midst of putting together a triangulated, multi-instrumented surveillance setup in one of the premier UFO hotspots in North America.
just one thing you should know about me up front, I'm a primary research guy, not a secondary. So I've seen and observed and read, and a lot of people have done a lot of different things, and a lot of it seems good, but I kind of want to start from scratch so we don't miss anything. And you know, I don't want to take any shortcuts. So a lot of the things that you've learned in your experience, we'll probably pick that up. And that, again, that's the whole idea, is to make this a very inclusive process, because we're going to, I'm sure we're going to meet people who have experiences they can contribute that will help us move along a little faster. We don't have all the answers, but nobody that is involved at this point in the organization is a seasoned, you know, has a seasoned ufology background at all. You know, we're really kind of starting from scratch. In the past, I'm not trying to say that this is like
areas of high incidence. You look at what your chances are of actually capturing some sort of real time event based on the databases that have been slowly being accumulated over decades. There are places in North America where you have a much higher chance percentage-wise of having an unusual occurrence. And in the case of the San Luis Valley, where I was, there's more sightings per 10,000 population than I think there's one other spot that's comparable, and that would be in North Dakota because there's so few people. But for every 10,000, you know, a population, there are 257 or 274, I forget, ufological events. The next nearest being, I think, 50-something per 10,000 population. So, ID spots that do have a history and a preponderance of sighting activity.
Well, I found this to be kind of interesting, but, you know, some of the first six expeditions we are planning to do on a few different Indian reservations.
Yeah.
They're pretty isolated. They're pretty isolated. Some of the most secret military installations are actually on Indian reservations for obvious reasons. They can operate with almost absolute autonomy. The civilian population on an Indian reservation is not really interested in engaging with the outside world too much. So, they don't have to worry about that. And so we found that to be and a really good source of information, from my experience, is from a historical perspective, without any kind of religious tainting, if you will. Residents on Indian reservations have a lot of great information as it relates to this activity that doesn't make it into the mainstream, I found. So that's one of the interesting locations we're going to start, where we'll have very little interference. We'll have, you know, all the elements we would look for or exist and are really optimal. And if we can, if we can have a measure of success initially in that kind of arena, that would be something that can be replicated on a large scale around the world, I would imagine. So, but to answer your first question, a lot of the money is going to be spent to develop that platform, because that's going to be really how we aggregate, analyze, and model the data coming in from all over the place. The other aspect is we are going to develop, we have a partner who was a former arms dealer and was a very successful contractor for maritime security, who is now on the board of a specialized optics company. And we would like to be able to observe, these craft, up close using specialized optics. So we're going to purchase a system, kind of like a telescope, but a little bit different. It can effectively record a whole array of different spectrums of light. And we can use view, we can see things in different spectrums of light, which picks up details that you miss.
Yeah, it's called the blaze grading. It's an attachment that goes on to an optical instrument called a blaze grating. It separates light into spectrum.
Exactly. So we can record that information, and so we're having a device created so that we can use that has some customized features. So that's a pretty costly endeavor. But the rest of it, in terms of our operations costs for the expeditions, we would love and are trying to encourage people who are interested in going on expeditions with us to help us out. Wide open for that. We're trying to invite as many people to participate as possible. But most of the operational costs we're going to pay for ourselves. We just need this platform and some of our equipment that we're going to need out in the field, and that's it. Once we've been able to acquire those things and concluded our initial, and all, everything that we do is going to be recorded, the raw data, and this is probably one of the, if I had to say, a differentiator, which I wish more people would do, I personally would be interested in looking at more raw data than the edited data and that has someone else's ideas about what this means. But we're going to provide all the raw data as we record it. It is going to be available for people to view, to look at, to go through themselves. So we're going to be purchasing a lot of, I don't want to say GoPro, but we're going to use kind of a GoPro method of recording our activities. Not to say we're going to use specifically GoPro cameras, but you get the idea, so that we can, so we capture everything, and so that the public can benefit from that.
I'm going to ask you more questions about this, and so will Chris in the final segment of our session with Sean Correa of Anonymous Uprising with Gene and Chris. You're in the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast Jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Don't know what contaminants are lurking in your water? Time to get a ProPure. Take advantage of ProPure's holiday sale. Save 25% on all ProPure water filter products. Sales good through December 31st. There's a ProPure water filter for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
Did you know your car can be hacked just like your computer or phone? Hackers can hijack the signal of your own key fob to burglarize your vehicle in seconds. The Black Hole Faraday Key Fob Bag is a signal impenetrable shield that stops these hacks in their tracks. Protect one of your most valuable assets. Go to hackproofbag.com. That's hackproofbag.com. And use promo code RADIO to get 20% off. Or call 805-222-4584. 805-222-4584.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
The following is an incredible, life-changing, free offer for anyone with hearing problems who wants to start hearing more clearly again. We're now offering free in-home trials of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear to anyone who calls this special toll-free number now. 1-800-719-4926. Call now and you'll also qualify for free shipping. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers. It adjusts to let you find the perfect way to hear things crisply and clearly, wherever you are and whatever you're doing. And Listen Clear is so small and discreet, people usually don't even notice you're wearing it. And it's so lightweight, you may even forget you're wearing it too. Don't miss this special life-changing opportunity to hear things more clearly again for free with a 100% free in-home trial and free shipping. If you like it, you could even get free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-719-4926. That's 1-800-719-4926. 1-800-719-4926.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Sean, can you tell us, do you actually have a specific detailed cost breakdown, a business plan that people can get a hold of?
We do. We were, you know, this is a little bit different endeavor than any of us have ever been a part of before. So we wanted to provide that to people sort of on a case-by-case basis as they required that information. There we were kind of a split on whether it would be smart to just make it available to the public. I was one that kind of voted for it because it's pretty straightforward and, you know, there's nothing in there that's too, you don't have any particular trade secrets. I mean, it's pretty open. So I wouldn't have a problem with it. I think the issue would be is there certain companies, vendors and sources and stuff that are providing resources that don't want to be mentioned, but I don't think anybody really cares who they are. So I'm sure we could come up with the version that is, you know, not going to affect our project that the public can look at.
Yeah, but the reason I'm mentioning that is you've got a GoFundMe campaign here seeking $1 million, and maybe trivial for people to give $10, $100, whatever. But if someone really wants to put a lot of money into this, and you're going to need lots of people to participate, they're going to insist on a business plan, a breakdown. What are you going to do with this money? Where is it?
Well, that's a good point. When we initially did this campaign, you know, I'm used to going after more traditional sources of capital, right? Venture capitalists, angel investors, institutional investors, et cetera. In this case, because like you've said, the average donation is between $20 to $100. That level of detail would be so much that it would overwhelm people and that just they would lose interest because a lot of the, but to your point, and we thought if somebody really wanted to get involved and have the resources to, you know, make a sizable investment and they wanted to, you know, access to that information, that was kind of, you know, well, we have it available if they want it. So, but to your point, you think that you're making the point that we should just put it out there for the public, just for everybody and anybody to read it, is what you're suggesting.
Well, I think it has to be available for people to want to know more. You don't necessarily have to have the full business plan, except if someone is more seriously interested, but something. I mean, right now, from what I see in your GoFundMe campaign, is just a few paragraphs of very general information, kind of like what you get if you put in $100, but it doesn't explain all the purposes of this money. I think you could have write a one-page business plan that roughly describes where this is going and not for the salaries of the people participating.
Exactly. Good point. We'll put something together and publish it. I appreciate that as a suggestion. Again, a lot of this stuff is new to us. We're not sure you know, how people are going to respond, what the level of interest, you know, a lot of this is just uncharted territories. You know, we're certainly open to ideas, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Make a good point.
Right, but didn't you consult with accountants or business people as to how to raise capital?
No. Well, we're not. None of the money we raise is going towards traditional operating costs or anybody's salary or anything like that. We need to develop this platform, and we need some equipment, and that's really it. Everything else is coming out of other funding sources.
It's $1 million, man. It's $1 million. What kind of equipment do you need for $1 million?
Well, this stuff's not cheap. Well, the most expensive part is the analytics system. It's extraordinarily expensive. Commercial analytics platforms cost between $480,000 to $600,000+. We're building this one from scratch, because all the algorithms have to be custom. There isn't a pre-scripted set of algorithms we could use that would really be a good fit for the kinds of data that we're collecting. So this has all got to be built. It's all custom. You know, it's not cheap.
Sean, we're running out of time. We have maybe 4 minutes left to talk about this. I want to be really quick about this. All right. So you're talking about $500,000 for this analytics platform. That could be put in a single sheet of paper. Here's what the money will go for. And you can stick it on your GoFundMe campaign. Analytics platform, this, that, the other thing. Personnel, programmers, all that can be spelled out. And I think if you spelled it out, you'd get a lot more action than you're getting now. You're just raised, as we talk, a few $100. And you want to raise $1 million, you're going to have to reach a very, very high threshold to get to that point. And in order to do that, you're going to have to provide some more information. This is really general, and it's not there. I have to ask you this information. It should have been there already, if you understand. I do
understand what you're saying. I think it's a good point, and we can put something together and make it available. So, again, there is a debate in launching a crowdfunding campaign. What degree of specificity, what kind of detail is consumable? You know, the general rule of marketing is you don't typically want to bombard people with data necessarily, want to teaspoon it. And one of the key messages, if you go to the page, is I left my email address, my contact information, and welcome anybody who wanted to talk to me, had other questions, or just wanted to talk and reach out. I'm available to answer those questions. But there was a debate. Is too much data. Your message can get buried. So we wanted to teaspoon and give them just enough information to kind of get a sense. But you make a valid point. I guess if people are curious about that, and I've looked at a number of different similar campaigns and tried to study that and kind of get a sense for, what kind of information was made available. That's kind of how we got here. So I'm not opposed to what you're suggesting. I think it's a valid point, and it's something that we'll address here in the near term. And hopefully that does help people to get a better understanding and, prove the response going forward. So I get it. I agree. Makes sense. We'll do it.
Okay. I will look forward to seeing it. We have not dealt much with your personal experiences because, frankly, we wanted to focus more on what got you to this point, what you hope to accomplish with Anonymous Uprising. So certainly we hope to see more developments, but remember too that every day that you have a campaign at GoFundMe where you're not providing enough information, potential donors are going to be turned off and they'll look elsewhere. They'll look to the people who maybe need to raise money for an operation or have some other emergency. So that's another issue to consider. Now, I'm not an expert on GoFundMe campaigns, but I've done a little bit of it, and I can see where the obstacles might be. So those of our listeners who want to know more about what Anonymous Uprising is there any place they can check it out?
Right now, right now it's just our GoFundMe page. And as soon as we launch, we're going to develop a website and, basically facilitate updates and communicate with the public. But all the updates and information is on our if you go to anonymousuprising.com, it'll take you to our GoFundMe page. we're going to be putting some updates here today or tomorrow, adding information. So it's all there.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Search for the Paracast on Twitter. We also have a presence on Facebook. Look for the Paracast Fan Club on Facebook. There are two of them. We also have the Paracast.com. And if you go there, you'll find lots of information about what we are and what we do and about all the hundreds of shows that we have available. We're also available on nearly 30 radio stations on the GCN network. And then we have the Paracast Plus. The Paracast Plus is a subscription service where we offer the After the Paracast podcast, where Chris and I will have a lot more to say about the Anonymous Uprising venture. You also will get the ad-free version of this show without the network commercials, like 41 minutes of those removed. We give you extra audio and video content from Paul Kimball's Other Side of Truth. There's a lot more there. And we have a new special for the new year as we start 2017. You can get a subscription to the Paracast Plus for $1.49 a week. It's going to be a recurring payment, $4.99 a month. We also have plans for 5 years and a lifetime, and this show has been here for 10 years so far, 10 and a half years actually, and we'll be here for an awful long time. For more information, go to plus.theparacast.com. That's plus.theparacast.com with all the sign-up information you need. Sean Correa of Anonymous Uprising, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.